Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a fantastic Friday today. Lots of stories for you, so we got a lot of fun stuff to cover. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing wonderful today. As always, beautiful weather up here in North Carolina. And by the way, this is an interesting article by Barrett. He says, in a stunning development, President Donald Trump has refused to release many of the JFK assassination documents. What could Trump have possibly meant when he said that releasing all of the secret JFK assassination files, as he is mandated to do by federal law, would cause irreversible harm to national security? How could anything from 54 years ago probably possibly compromise national security now? I'm going to answer that question right now. There's a bunch of stuff that was going on with national security, including the Roswell files, which were all involved with Kennedy, and Kennedy wanted to have full disclosure on what happened at Roswell. He also wanted to get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank with Executive Order 11110. Plus, he wanted to absolutely scatter the CIA to the wind. He wanted to go after the mafia, and he already had the Cubans mad because of the Bay of Pigs. All of these things were reasons that he was assassinated, including Lyndon Johnson's wanting to be put to the presidency of the United States and the CIA drug running out of Southeast Asia. All of those things are still relevant today. That's why he did not want any of that information released. That's why Trump did not release the information. And that's why we are big Gates. And I said this 2 weeks ago when they started talking about releasing the JFK information. I said on the show and I told my friends, the CIA, who runs the government, will never allow that information to be released unless it's in a heavily redacted form like Sandy Hook. And that's what we're going to get. Now, remember, this is over 50 years, and he's mandated by federal law to release that information now, but he will not do it because the Federal Reserve Bank, the Roswell incident, the information about what happened, you know, with the CIA and the drug running, all of that is still relevant information. He does not want any of it released.
Yep, that's exactly what's going on with that. There is way too much stuff that was going on in the 60s around with JFK for them to release that. That's what I figured. I didn't think they'd release it. I figured if they did release it, this is going to be the same nonsense we just saw with Sandy Hook, where it's going to be like 80 to 90% redacted, and they weren't going to show anything about it. But I guarantee you, there is so much stuff involving that entire incident and everything around it. The whole thing with Roswell and Area 51, we know there's something going on out there. We know there's plenty of things out there that they're not wanting to tell us. And it's almost like they don't think the population is ready for it yet. I just saw an article earlier today where NASA is starting to hint now repeatedly of other type of alien life forms, almost like they're getting ready to release it. The forthcoming announcement from NASA two weeks ago, from NASA's Kepler Space Observatory said they found 219 potentially inhabitable planets outside of our solar system. 10 of those 219 planets were very similar to Earth. Then on Twitter last week, Professor Zerbic wrote, 219 potential new planets. NASA Kepler data shows us that most stars are home to at least one planet. Are we alone? Now, Anonymous, which, again, I don't take a lot what they say seriously, but the hacking group Anonymous has now put out a YouTube video claiming that NASA is setting up to make a historical announcement regarding the existence of alien life in our universe. Whether or not that's accurate, I have absolutely no idea. But again, it seems like they're slowly trying to prep the American population and the world for the fact that there's a lot of other things going on outside of this earth and outside of these dimensions that we have any idea about, but it's like they're not just quite ready for it. And the thing about Area 51, and the problem with that is, if they put out the information that really existed and what really happened, I don't think a lot of people would be shocked. A lot of people would be like, yeah, we already knew that. We already figured this was going on. But I think what it would do is it would garnish so much bitterness between the American population and the government, the fact that the government knew this stuff was going on back past 50, 60, 70 years ago now and refused to tell us about it, and now they just decided to do so. And borderline uprising would probably occur, in my opinion, because you'd have so many people that would be so frustrated that they held on to this. Not like they kept it secret for a year or two, but the better half of, you know, over half of a century. And that's what I think a lot of it is, that they don't want to release this information now. They're going to try and release little tidbits of stuff they know maybe in the future. because they're never going to come clean on what happened with JFK or anything surrounding him.
Remember, the vast majority of Christians in the United States, they don't believe in extraterrestrial life, which is completely ridiculous because the Bible is filled with extraterrestrial life. The theologians have told everybody for eons that there exists no other life anywhere in the cosmos except for here on planet Earth. The question they never ask themselves or ask their parishioners is this: where do the angels come from? Where do the demons come from? Oh, that's right. They like to think those are fantasy stories and those aren't real. The Bible lists almost, I think, 6 to 10 different types of alien angels, different types, different species of angels. We have the fair seraphim, we have the cherubim, we got a bunch of different ones. We got the warrior angels. All of this different stuff, as far as I'm concerned, are different civilizations, different races who at one time worked with or for God as messengers of God. And then we know, of course, that we have the fallen angels in the book of Enoch and also in the book of Genesis chapter 6. But nobody wants to talk about that information. So we have a lot of Christians in the United States that aren't prepped for this type of release simply because they haven't been told the truth of what happened with Roswell. And I'm going to give you two more books again to look at that I saw and I read a few years ago. I never really talked about this stuff because I really didn't care about it, to be honest with you. But I read the book, The Money Mafia, by Helluride, who's the former deputy prime minister of Canada in defense. And he wrote a book called The Money Mafia, in which he absolutely exposes the Rothschild banking cartel. And I read the book, and it was really, really a good book. About halfway through the book, he goes, well, let's talk about Roswell. And I'm like, what the heck, Roswell? And then he goes into this whole thing about these fallen angels. And of course, he doesn't call them fallen angels. He calls them interdimensional and extraterrestrial entities. And he goes into detail about these different things and species around the cosmos. And I'm like, what the heck? And then all of a sudden he says he had read the book called The Day After Roswell by Colonel Corso, which was an international best-selling book 20 years ago, best-selling New York Times best-selling book. And he was a full-bird colonel who worked for 3 different presidential administrations and was in charge of the Roswell files. And he goes into detail in this book about what happened with these extraterrestrials and who they found and what they found at the crash sites in Roswell. There were actually 2 crash sites. And he actually got to see the bodies of these extraterrestrials. Well, he discloses all of it. Full bird colonel discloses all of it in this book back in the 90s. Now, the thing that's interesting about this is that it was an international best-selling book, but it didn't get any traction in any kind of national news shows or anything else as far as being on CBS or NBC or ABC or whatever. I'm sure it was quashed back then, too. But the problem is this, is that the vast majority of Christians out there who are completely convinced that we're alone in the universe don't get it, that, you know, Jesus Christ came here, God came from somewhere else, of course he's omnipresent, we know that, he means he's everywhere at all times, and that all these extraterrestrial entities, including the fallen angels, are all listed in the Bible, and nobody wants to talk about them. That's what I always, David Icke is another researcher, I go along with about 80% of what he says, the other 20% is complete nonsense, but he calls these things reptilian aliens. And to me, that's just talking about the fallen angels. Because remember, Adam and Eve in the garden, and Satan morphed himself, or whatever he did to himself, into a snake, into a reptile, and deceived Eve and then deceived Adam at the same time. Now, guys, this is something that we need to pay attention to, because if they release this information about extraterrestrials in the universe, we have to understand something. That this can't blindside us as Christians. The Bible talks about it, and it shouldn't affect your faith in Yeshua or Yahweh at all. And I've said this before in Hagman, I'm going to say this again today on this show. I've got a friend of mine. His name is Gunter. He's German, and he's dying of cancer. But I'll give him credit. He's been doing a lot of natural protocols, and he's actually stayed alive a lot longer than the doctors have given him. But what was interesting about him is he doesn't believe in Jesus as the Son of God whatsoever. And he was at my house one day, and we were talking to him, and I was witnessing to him, trying to get him to be converted to Christianity. And finally, he just got kind of adamant with me, and I looked at him, and I said, well, let me tell you something, buddy. And I said, do you know that if you're in the midst of a fallen angel abduction or an alien abduction, that the internet is filled with stories that if you call on the name of Yeshua or Jesus, these entities have to put you back into your house. They can't mess with you. This is the fallen angel group, or whatever else you want to call them. And he looked at me kind of funny, Austin, and he goes, you're absolutely right, that's true. If you call on the name of Jesus, they have to put you back. And I looked at him and I said, doesn't that kind of make you think that there's something in the name of Jesus, of Yeshua, that these entities have to bow, every knee shall confess, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I said, Gunter, I said, don't you understand? When you call on the name of Yeshua in the middle of anything like this, these interdimensional entities or fallen angels or whatever you want to call them, they don't want Yeshua to show up. They hear you calling daddy, basically, and you need some help, and they don't want Yeshua to show up and send him into some herd of demons again. They don't want to have all that happen again. So they have the Bible, the Word of God, the name of Jesus has authority over all of these things. Because remember, when we're connected to God in His dimension, everything's under our feet because we're in the upper dimension with God. Lucifer's in the lower dimensions, and we're connected through and through the Holy Spirit to God in His dimension. It's a game changer for Christians. If you only knew who you were and what you are, that's why being upset that there's other life on another planet, who cares? God didn't have to come to me or you or anybody listening to the show today and get our permission to start a different race of people. I believe that we are the only humans that are made in God's image in the cosmos. I believe that. I believe that we're a special planet set aside by Yahweh Himself to do what He did to create us in His image. And that's why the doggone devil got so hair-lipped and the angels got so mad about it all, because they not only wanted to be us, be in His in His image, and have a soul, you know, they hate us. And see, that's why Lucifer runs around as a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. Because why? He knows that his time is short. Because in the great scope of the universe, if he's here for a few thousand years, or 5,000 years, that's a tiny, tiny drop of time in the vastness of the universe, in the expansion of the universe. People are always saying, well, the universe is continually expanding. Well, you know why it's continually expanding? Because when Yahweh built the thing and set it up, He said, let there be light. And He never said, let it stop. That's why it's continuing to grow and to develop. And we all know that because of the energy field that we all live in, and how we're all quantumly interconnected through protons. I mean, everybody is quantumly connected with every other person on the planet, which creates that energy field around the planet, which I've discussed in detail on the show. So if you haven't heard those shows that we've done, I don't want to do that again today. But guys, it's so important to understand how we are wonderfully made. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, everything changes. Everything. Our whole life changes. We no longer have to fear death. Nothing matters anymore because, guys, when we're born again, it changes everything. So anyhow, what's your next story, Austin?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no question about it. Well, one thing that I've noticed now, and I wanted to bring this up too because I've seen this a bunch, is that article that came out that we talked about that reviewed basically but it was published in the peer-reviewed journal that revealed that pregnant women who receive seasonal flu shots year after year are more than four times more likely to have spontaneous miscarriages compared to women who do not get the flu shot. And we went into detail in this article about 2 weeks ago, but I've seen numerous news articles now basically trying to downplay this research or bury it or not even cover it at all. And the crazy part to me is this research was funded by the CDC, and this groundbreaking research rejects the official government narrative that all vaccines are completely safe and effective. But then Dr. Gregory Poland just came out now, for instance, and he said the paper raises important questions about the vaccine safety, but he does not believe that flu shots are in any way responsible for causing the miscarriages in the research study. What I don't understand about this is, how can you make a claim when the study was conducted under rigorous scientific methods, especially considering the fact that the opposite was totally discovered of what he was saying, that pregnant women get flu shots after the flu with no risk of complications? Such findings have been immediately declared by every major health agency and news station to be gospel truth. If they get a vaccine shot, they're completely healthy. It doesn't do anything to them. It's safe for the fetus, blah, blah, blah. And they keep parroting this nonsense, even though the article and the research came out was very, very clear. And I mean, even the two CDC researchers, not anti-vaxxers, the two CDC researchers involved in it noticed that there was a big difference between the women who had miscarried within 28 days of getting a flu shot, as well as who had received the flu shot the year prior. Among such women, 17 of the 485 evaluated had miscarriages, compared to only 4 of the 485 from the unvaccinated comparison group. The Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota reported on these findings as suggesting a strong association between receiving repeated doses of the seasonal influenza vaccine and miscarriage. Now, the thing that I thought about too with this, and you know, Dad and I have brought it up last week a lot, is the aspect of aborted fetal cells in vaccines.
That's right.
We know that the use of aborted human fetal tissue in many vaccines is starting to suggest now that the vaccine industry is essentially just an extension of Planned Parenthood and all the other abortion industry components and other key players. A recent article was published by Jessica Farnsworth back in May 2011 that looked at the link between aborted human babies and vaccine production. It turned out the vaccine industry essentially relies on the abortion industry to develop new vaccines. So it's hardly surprising that these same vaccines seem to cause abortions as well. So think about this for a second. The vaccine companies are relying on aborted babies to use their fetal tissue to make new vaccines. At the same time, the vaccines that they're making are directly linked back to early miscarriages of the women who get the flu vaccine when they're pregnant. So it's literally like a revolving circle of the abortion industry and the vaccine industry working hand in hand to not only increase miscarriages and increase birth issues, but on top of that, using as many aborted fetuses as they physically can to make the vaccines. I thought that was just pretty sick, Dad, when I saw that today, but I really wanted to kind of bring that up because, I mean, unless you're living under a rock or you literally have like a single digit IQ, you can't read this stuff and do the research on this and believe for any second that these guys are telling us the truth of what's really going on with these vaccines. Everything they do is a lie as far as when they try and tell us this stuff's safe, there's no side effects, and every time this research comes out that completely contradicts the mainstream narrative, then they want to say, oh, well, that's not accurate, that can't be true, they're perfectly safe. We've already proven that vaccines are safe, so they're safe. That's always their rebuttal. We're proving they're safe. They're safe. And I'm like, well, that doesn't really instill much confidence in me at all. What's up with the other 50 different research articles that are showing otherwise? Oh, those are fake. Those are fake. Don't worry. They're safe. Just believe us. It's crazy, well, remember, man, but I saw it today. I just wanted to bring that up again.
Always remember, all of these abortions are a satanic sacrifice for an energy release of these poor infants that are being murdered. That's all it is. Remember, Satan runs about as a roaring lion seeking those who may devour. It's kind of like it puts them into a feeding frenzy when you start killing these little children. That's why Baal and Moloch all require the sacrifice of young children because of what it does in an interdimensional energy plane from quantum mechanics. That's how these guys eat, basically. And that's why Satan runs about as a roaring lion seeking those who may devour. And now he likes to devour the energy of young children because that's the purest form of energy. And so apparently when that egg and that sperm meet, and there's a flash of light, by the way, when that happens, that's God imparting its, I'm sure, putting the soul into that embryo. When that happens, these young children, especially their first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth month, the energy field around them is still very, very, very strong, and it's directly interconnected to the mother's energy field, you know, the quantum mechanics. And when that baby is killed like that and murdered like that, it's a satanic sacrifice. The same thing that Moloch did, the same thing, again, that the Baal did. All of these entities feed on this type of energy. That's what this is. It deals with light photonic energy. And this is the thing that people don't get. All of this is the human sacrifice network that goes around the planet with millions of people disappearing yearly, primarily children. Now, just to give you another information, if you don't think these guys are the guys running the thing, the U.S. last year, this is from the Wall Street Journal, or actually this year, is running first of all, it's over $1 trillion in deficits. We're losing over $1 trillion a year through the Defense Department and HUD. We already know that. That's complete and total common knowledge that we have like over $20 trillion on the books that's gone. We have, the Defense Department has admitted that they're over $10 trillion now, gone. So the numbers that you get from the Congressional Budget Office as far as deficits are complete and total lies. They're complete lies. So here's what they gave us this time. The U.S. revenue and spending both hit record highs in fiscal 2017, according to the department. And it says the U.S. ran a $666 billion deficit in fiscal 2017, sixth highest on record. Yes, I said that right. 666. That's the satanic group giving everybody the middle finger, saying, to heck with you guys. Here's the finger. We're going to show you what we're going to do. There is absolutely no way, with a $1 trillion deficit, that we're going to have exactly $666 billion in deficits. It's complete and total lies, nonsense. Again, it's this Sabbatean group that's saying, ha-ha, we'll do what we want to do. The federal budget deficit widened in fiscal year 2017 to the sixth highest deficit on record as government spending growth outpaced growth in tax collections for the second year in a row, according to the Treasury Department, which is run through the Exchange Stability Fund, through the Sabbatean Bank, through the Bank of International Settlements out of Basel, Switzerland. The budget shortfall rose to $666 billion in the fiscal year that ended on September the 30th, up $80 billion or 14% from 2016. This is absolutely nuts, Austin, that these guys are so in your face with this satanic imagery and stuff. They print something like this in the Wall Street Journal, exactly $666 billion. What kind of nonsense is that, son? But it shows you who's in charge of the government, which we told you that repeatedly over and over again, son.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just like the aspect in Vegas, the shooter's on the 32nd floor, one level below the 33rd floor, with the 33-degree masons and everything else. I mean, dude, this stuff is, it doesn't just happen like this. They're very, very specific about their numerology with it. Also, in other news, as weird as this is now, and this is why I absolutely do not support Disney, anything they're about, nor will I ever let my children watch it. The Disney show, the Disney Channel, is releasing the second season of the show Andy Mack this week, which according to the Hollywood Reporter will now introduce the network's first gay storyline. Now, what's weird about this entire show is that they noted by THR is that it's group children group is between the ages of 6 to 14 with the median viewer age of 10. Now, what they did with this was, as I just said a second ago, the second season of Andy Mack. The first season, they did not have that in it. So they're releasing the second season now as they've gotten a lot of viewership and a huge amount of hits. It's one of the top shows on Disney Channel now, I just found out. Now they're releasing a full gay storyline. And I don't mean like a character that acts flamboyant or acts like Metro. I mean a full gay storyline now into the entire plot of the second season, where the lead actress in the show is basically dating one of the boys, and another boy that's her friend tells her that he has feelings for her boyfriend, and they're stuck in this like three-way gay love triangle. Now guys, you can understand, this is like some late night soap opera weirdo television show plot. It should be at like 1 o'clock in the morning on TV that nobody watches. This is not that. This is like primetime network Disney Channel, top of the ranking Disney Channel show that's directly geared to a median age of 10 years old. This is what they're trying to do, guys, and I've said this so many times. You have to protect this younger generation. The media, the music, the YouTube, all this stuff. They are doing everything. I mean, they're not even trying to hide it anymore, guys. They are in full-fledged, aggressive offense mode, doing the best they can to completely saturate this younger generation's mind with pure perversion. Nothing less. Nothing less at all. They're not even trying to act like they're avoiding it anymore. They're going full on as hard as they can. And with stuff like this, this goes to show you the exact agenda that they're trying to promote. I guarantee you, bet money, within this season or within the next season or some other show, they're going to have some type of transgender storyline that they're going to add in there. This is all about trying to completely ruin the Christian culture of this entire generation and make them think that up is down and right is wrong and every which way they want to go is the right way, as long as it makes them feel good. This is exactly where it's going. But I was appalled when I saw that today, because I already know Disney Channel has some weird stuff on it. I've never supported it, will never let anybody watch it in my house or my children. But now they're blatantly coming out now with a soap opera based gay storyline for the entire season, Dad.
Well, everybody already knows, and it's not like on this big here's a newsflash. Everybody already knows that the entire theater industry in New York City, as far as in the plays, et cetera, that they do, is run by the gay mafia, period.
Oh, yeah.
It's just run by the, it's run by the gay Jewish mafia. It just is what it is. And then you say, well, that sounds anti-Semitic. Well, who cares? It's what it is. I don't care what it sounds like. That's who runs the doggone gay theater mafia. It's a gay Jewish theater mafia gang, okay? And if you don't do what they want you to do in New York, you simply don't work. And that includes all kinds of sexual stuff. We know that the Hollywood group is run by the Jewish pedophile mafia and the gay mafia out there. These guys are sick. They have a deep-seated hatred of Jesus Christ. They told Mel Gibson that if he released The Passion of the Christ, they would destroy him, and they did, totally and completely. He'll never be where he was ever again in Hollywood status again as far as his release of movies or his scripts he'll ever be given again to basically play as an actor. That's not going to happen because they so hate Yeshua and Yahweh. And remember, these are the same guys that did the Russian Bolshevik Revolution in the early 1900s and then migrated from the 30s and the 40s and the 20s into the United States and took over the media and Hollywood. It's so important that everybody gets that. In fact, I've read you articles with the one guy, I think it was Benjamin Fulford, and he said he went into detail. He was in Hollywood, and I've given you guys the links. You can go get the links off of Bill Hicks's website because it's still active at the bottom, and it goes into detail of who these guys are. He names the dates. He names the places. He names the people. All of this stuff as far as what happened in the Russian Revolution. You've got to understand this. Now, I'm going to say this again. 99% of the Jewish folks in the United States absolutely have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay, that's a fact. The same thing with most Christians. But this is just who runs this organization. It's that 1% of these Sabbatean Kabbalists that are Luciferians. They don't even practice Judaism. Most of them are either hardcore Satanists or atheists. And that's who they are. And if you understand that's who's running the show with the Sabbatean Kabbalists, and you get that it's being run by Luciferians. I got into an argument with Tex Mars one time when I was hosting him and interviewing him on the Joyce Riley show. And I told Tex, I said, it's not the Jews in general that are doing this. It's the Sabbatean Kabbalists and the Luciferians. It's the Satanists. I said, Hillary Clinton is not Jewish. Bill Clinton is not Jewish. Bushes aren't Jewish. The Rockefellers aren't Jewish. I said, that's not who's doing this. I said, these are hardcore Luciferians with their worship practices who are running the show as far as the media and in Hollywood. Stanley Kubrick tried to tell us that, Austin, but he had 15 minutes in there. He refused to cut of his movie in Eyes Wide Shut, and he was killed a few weeks before the release, and they took that 15 minutes of that dialogue out because he gave us full disclosure. That's who's running the show out there, the Luciferian Satanic group. And that's what I told Tex Mars. I said, you can't blame it on the Jews or the Germans or the Chinese. You got to blame it on the Luciferians, the Baal worshippers, the worshippers of Moloch. These are the guys, the Druidic worshippers. Remember, Winston Churchill was a Druid. You have to understand that he was a Druid. He was a Satanist. Look it up. He belonged to the Druid Society of England. You can look it up on his Wikipedia page. They posted as if they're proud of it. This is who's running the planet. Solon was a Satanist. All of these guys were Luciferians. These are bad news people, guys, and we have to wrestle control away from them, from the media. And now look what they've done. They've got this Disney line of a bunch of homos and gay boys out there trying to convert your children. Now, I'm saying that to your children, because my children don't watch this stuff, and your children's children, in another 100 years from now, if we don't put a stop to this, I'm about to say a bad word, stinking filth that they're putting out, we won't even recognize the United States at all, if it even exists in 100 years. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, and they've done this, and I've talked about it so in depth before in the previous shows, but with the mainstream media, the television shows, the movies, all this stuff now, you can literally watch, especially over the past 25 to 30 years.
That's right.
Since I was born, you watch the movies back in the 80s. Then you start watching TV shows and movies in the 90s. Then you start watching them in the 2000s. Then you start watching them today. There has been a slow, just decay of not just the quality, but just the ethics and moral compass of these movies. They do the best they can to do it very slowly. They don't even have to do it slowly now, though. That's the problem. They've already gotten so many people accepted to this lifestyle. They've got so many people accepted to this type of behavior that they're now shooting for the younger audience. They have enough people now that are so scared because they don't want to be politically incorrect to anybody. They don't want to offend anybody. That's what they've done now. That's the entire aspect of this whole politically correct culture. That's why I told you guys before, I'm one of the most politically incorrect people you ever meet, because I don't care. I don't have to be. The reason why we're in the situation we're in right now in a lot of these situations is because everybody's capitulated and submitted to this weird ideology, these perverted ideas, and everybody sits back and goes, well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to get anybody mad at me. You know, I don't want to get in a position where somebody thinks, you know, I'm this way or that way. So I just won't say anything about it. I just won't do anything about it. That's why when Netflix started this crap last year, I straight said, shut it off. I'm not going to deal with you guys. You're going to put gay and lesbian films on my show, and you're not going to block them when I tell you to block them, and I'm paying you guys $8 a month? Shut it off. I don't even want it anymore. And I'm back charging the last 90 days of Netflix because you guys hacked me off with your attitude. That's how everybody has to start acting with this stuff. Every time you go to these movies, like Beauty and the Beast from Disney, and you give them hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue, like the American population did for that movie, you are condoning that behavior, and you're increasingly showing them that, hey, we're okay with that. We don't mind having bestiality movies promoted on our film and animation. We don't mind having openly gay characters in our Disney movies that are animated. It's okay. We'll still pay the $12, $15 a movie ticket, and we'll take our whole family to it because our kids really want to see it. What is a point that we're going to reach where we're going to take a stand? We're going to say, no, I'm not going to do that. You have to vote with your dollars. Everybody says that, but most people don't do it. If you really don't support something and you don't agree with it, why the heck are you going to keep giving it money? That doesn't make any sense to me. It would be like somebody saying, well, I don't support the gay church that's down the road, but I go ahead and I tithe to them still because I feel like that's a good place to tithe my money. Really? That's the same concept that you're doing when you support these shows and you pay for Netflix and you pay to go watch movies like Beauty and the Beast at the movie theater. You're supporting that type of ideology, and you're contributing to with your money, and you're showing them without a shadow of a doubt you're okay with that being promoted and your children watching that because you're paying them to allow you to let your children watch it. That's the whole irony of it. It's not only like they're forcing you to watch it, you're paying to watch it. That's the worst part. But anyways, I gotta get on a different note. I'm just gonna get too riled up with this now. Other news now with my
Hey, Neil, awesome. I got to add one thing before we change topics.
Yeah, go for it, man.
If you're listening to alternative radio talk shows, and they're not telling you this stuff, they're not telling you about gay Hollywood, if they're not telling you about this because they don't want to rock the boat, you really need to consider what you're listening to, guys, because if there's one thing I'm not going to do here is ever be politically correct with you guys. When God called me out of retirement and he spoke to me in that dream 5.5 to 6 years ago, now, I tell you what, it completely and totally changed my life. And you can ask Austin. It changed me overnight. And I became adamant. I got back the fire that I had when I first got saved. I mean, it completely changed my whole personality overnight. And the reason for that is I had a true encounter with God Almighty, with Yahweh himself. Now, I'm telling you guys, I'm never going to play that game with you guys. Oh, I'm not going to say this because I'm going to lose a listener. Or I'm not going to say this because I'm going to lose part of my audience. And this show is huge now all over the world because we have not compromised what we're telling you. And we're the only ones who can do it. Now, do this. Google this guy. Myron, M-Y-R-O-N, Fagan, F-A-G-A-N. He was a Jewish playwright who turned against his own group in Hollywood and started telling everybody what kind of communists they are. You can find his links on several of his really good recordings on Bill Hicks's website. Now, Bill Hicks, I don't agree with everything Bill Hicks said either, but I say one thing about Bill Hicks. He got taken out, and he died, so I'm not going to say anything else about him. May he rest in peace is all I can say. Now, here's the thing. He really is a huge pioneer against what happened with the Bolshevik Revolution, what happened with the Treaty of Versailles, and every single person listening, you will massively increase your knowledge of what happened in history and why we are where we are right now in the United States if you will listen to his recordings from the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s. He died in 72, so you can't go any further than that. But this guy was absolutely instrumental in telling people the truth. Now, this is an interesting article. I wanted to read this one to you also today. A man actually developed a water-powered car. For real, I kid you not, it ran on water. And he was killed here a few days ago. He ran out of the restaurant after he was meeting there with the Defense Department screaming, they have poisoned me. I mean, this is some crazy stuff, but I want to share. This is actually a true story. Water-powered car inventor dies in a restaurant screaming, they poisoned me. Did you know that the water-powered cars have existed for years? If you didn't, it's probably because they haven't been given proper media coverage. What's even odder, their inventors were either intimidated into ceasing their work or died under mysterious circumstances. Among the later was Stanley Miller, a U.S. inventor who designed a water fuel device, claiming that any car fitted with it could run purely on water. it was believed that this vehicle could run across the United States on just 22 gallons of water. In addition, the British Advanced Energy Institute sent a delegation to study his work, and they confirmed this. We recently sent a delegation to witness Stan's work to really evaluate it. This is one of the most important inventions of the century. However, unbeknownst to him, these same people may have been responsible for his downfall. Meyer's story took a turn for the worse while he was at a dinner with his twin brother and two Belgian investors. They were celebrating the recently patented creation of the car run only by water. Everything was running smoothly, going smoothly, until Meyer took a sip from his cranberry juice. He immediately started grabbing at his throat, ran outside, started vomiting profusely, and his last words to his brother before dying were, "They poisoned me." Guys, don't believe for one second that these guys won't kill somebody who develops a carburetor or an injection system or another fuel source that's not part of the petrodollar and the entire nonsense of these petrofuels being run from this, you know, oil-based economy that we're in, guys. So I just wanted to share that real quick with you all. So what's your next story?
Yeah, that's really wild right there. But no, that right there proves the fact of what we've talked about numerous times, that there's so many different ways as far as transportation that are way, way more cost-effective than us getting 20 miles per gallon in a truck or a vehicle like that, especially when the fact that you – and the thing that always is always a mind-boggler to me – is that we're still paying 20, 30, 40 cents more a gallon for diesel fuel when it's the byproduct. So, I mean, when you start seeing the fact that, I mean, it shouldn't even be, I mean, diesel fuel should be somewhere, you know, just as the cost of delivery, you know, 50, 60 cents a gallon. That's the max it should be. Not $2, $3, $4, $5 a gallon like it was back in 2008. Ridiculous stuff. But that's exactly what they want to do. They want to control the monopoly on it. Also, too, now, Tennessee has become the fourth state to impose restrictions on Monsanto's dicamba herbicide. Farmers in the state have stated the herbicide is drifting the neighborhood farms, damaging crops. Tennessee follows Arkansas, Missouri, and Kansas in holding global giant Monsanto responsible for environmental damage. The EPA approved dicamba as safe for use in 2016. Farmers in the southern United States say that dicamba has cost their neighbors hundreds of thousands of dollars in lost crops due to it drifting over to surrounding farms. Several lawsuits have already been filed against dicamba producers. Monsanto, of course, has dismissed these claims as the rambling of uneducated farmers. Fraley joined spokesperson with BASF and DuPont, who says they think it's improper handling rather than inherent chemical issues as the cause for damaged crops. He said the farmers do not follow application labels. At the same time now, Monsanto just filed suit against Arkansas regulators today of the plant board for banning another one of its herbicides, dicamba, and they said Monsanto's lawsuit, get this, accuses the Arkansas Board of acting outside its authority in prohibiting its herbicide use and failing to consider research Monsanto has submitted to federal regulators. This is great. Listen to the next part I'm about to say. The suit from Monsanto also asked the judge to prevent the board from requiring Monsanto to submit research from the University of Arkansas researchers in order to gain approval for herbicides in its state. They want to make sure that on top of this, they're going to do the best they can to never have to submit any type of research, including safety research, to the board to show that these new herbicides they're going to come out with are safe. This is just the beginning of it, guys. Dicamba, the 2DD, the glyphosate, this is just the beginning of the board for Monsanto and DuPont. These guys are just getting warmed up. This is just a warm-up session for them. They have so much sadistic chemicals in the pipeline that they're working on right now. Their overall goal is to make the entire world's population food supply dependent on their herbicides, at the same time making the food so toxic, so raunchy, so horrible for human consumption that it will do nothing but massively increase the pharmaceutical profits and the healthcare profits all at the same time. It's all an interlocked web. This is how they work. This is what their plan is, and they're doing everything they can to do so, including using hundreds of billions of dollars now over the last couple of years to fight every type of agency, including government body, to prevent GMO labeling all over the place because they do not want people knowing the truth, Dad.
You see this all the time. you get a huge corporation like this that's basically hundreds of billions of dollars, hundreds of billions, not trillions of dollars, subsidiary corporations. And they have a problem with a certain group of scientists or a certain group of regulators, like here in Arkansas with this, and they basically just file a lawsuit on them. They file a lawsuit in it on them, which is probably 300 or 400 pages, with literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of questions, and somebody's got to pony this thing up and pay for this response in this lawsuit, where they automatically win the lawsuit and along with damages. I mean, this is what these guys do. They come in and they sue you when they don't like what you're saying, when you actually try to stop the usage of their product. And these, basically, how should I say this, these lawyers who don't have any ethics, as far as I'm concerned, are willing to force this upon any population to maintain money and to get their huge salaries from Monsanto. Because remember, these guys have attorneys on staff that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year each. And so now that's at the top end. Now, some of them may not be making that much. So whether they sue these guys in Arkansas or don't sue these guys in Arkansas, it costs them exactly the same to maintain their attorneys. The same thing with Walmart, the same thing with Disney, the same thing with all of these major corporations. They have attorneys on staff. And I'm talking Harvard-educated guys that are incredibly good. And that's what they do. They throw so much legal ease at these people with all of these lawsuits that unless you've got really, really deep pockets, you simply shut it down or stop what you're doing or issue an apology just to make the money stop bleeding. This is what they've done. I know talk show hosts who have gone on an alternative radio, I won't mention their name, they're good friends of mine, who have been in a lawsuit now for years, because they got attacked viciously online and in the media by certain individuals, and they came back in and basically rebuked the individual on their show, and that individual filed a massive lawsuit on them out of Canada. And this has been going on for years now, tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees with no end in sight when it's going to stop. This is what these guys do when they want to silence you or shut you down if you get too big of a footprint. This is why so many of the people who you listen to on alternative radio, this is why they don't touch the fringe areas and talk about the stuff that we talk about, because they're trying to protect themselves and they don't want to lose part of their audience, or they don't want to get themselves engaged in all of these different types of legal things. Now, to me, personally, every morning I plead the blood of Christ over my family, and I know that you guys pray for me too, and you do that all the time. I station angels all around me and my family, my children by name every day, and our friends and the people, and in many, many cases we pray for you, the listeners of our show, every single day. And I put a hedge of thorns around us, because guys, we have to understand, this battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against all of these principalities and these things in the ether that do all these crazy things to people and humans and sacrifices and all the other stuff they do. These are a bunch of sickos. Speaking of a bunch of crazy stuff going on, 45% of the people living in California right now, 45% of the people in California do not speak English in their homes. Stephen Camarota of the Center for Immigration Studies says that because immigration has been so high in the U.S. so many years, an estimated 66 million people across America do not speak English in their homes. It is their second language if they speak English at all. This huge number of immigrants has overwhelmed the assimilation process, and these people have no interest whatsoever of integrating into our society. What do you think about that, Austin?
Yep, this is what's going on. I mean, and if we don't do anything and we don't change anything with the immigration laws and we just allow open borders, which I don't think we will anymore now that Trump's in, but Obama made sure he did his absolute best for the last 8 years to absolutely allow anybody. I mean, I remember there were individuals that worked for Border Patrol and for ICE and stuff like that, and they even came out. I mean, we talked about this years ago. They came out and said, yeah, we're given orders to release these guys. We detain them, and they say, oh, we don't have any way to hold them. We don't have enough room, so just release them. And they go, we got like 40 illegals that just came over the border. That's fine. Release them and tell them they need to go back to Mexico. What? Wait, what? Let them go and just tell them they need to go back? Yeah. Just let them out. Let them out here and just tell them they need to head back home whenever they get a chance. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that happened every time. They went, oh, yeah, we'll head back to Mexico right now. Sure we will. The joke, come on. And now we see that we're having this huge population out west that literally can't even speak English. If they can, it's very, very poorly. It's their secondary language, as Dad said, or they can't even speak it at all. Very, very sad as the American population completely almost just melts into a pot of just everything. It's no longer the United States of America anymore. It's just the loosely knit states from all these different countries of illegal immigration and mass immigration that have absolutely no sustained American values or ethics anymore. Very sad. Also news with Amazon now, as we expected.
Here we go.
So far right now, it looks like the e-commerce giant is planning a move into the prescription drug delivery business.
Yo.
Territory currently dominated by a handful of companies. According to a review of records by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Amazon has received approval now for wholesale pharmacy licenses in at least 12 states, including Nevada, Arizona, North Dakota, Louisiana, Alabama, New Jersey, Michigan, Connecticut, Idaho, New Hampshire, Oregon, and Tennessee. So it looks like these guys are getting prepped to start doing pharmaceutical drops all over the place. Now,
there you go.
What's crazy about this is that now, just because of this, CVS Health now is said is in the talks to acquire Athena for $66 billion in a blockbuster merger that could reshape the health insurance industry. One of the factors being rumored is because of Amazon. The Wall Street Journal reports the merger is at least partly intended to guard against the threat of Amazon entering the pharmacy market soon. As analysis that Goldman Sachs said, he noted that imagine a day when you can ask Alexa, which is the record thing that listens to everything you say and do in your house, that people have now that they actually pay to have in their house to spy on them. He goes, imagine a day when you can ask Alexa to have your Lipitor refill arrive at your doorstep in under 2 hours. This is a guy from Goldman Sachs. This is absolutely going to happen if Amazon has their way. It may sound like a stretch for the company, but Amazon now owns the Whole Foods grocery chain and is testing its own corner stores. It also now is offering 1 hour delivery in certain markets that potentially puts it in a strong position to deliver prescription drugs online and offline. I called this out months and months ago when I heard about the whole thing with Whole Foods. I said, this is what they're going to do. They want to take over every single avenue of online sales. They started with books, then they went to clothes, then they went to all types of different things, be it appliances, tools, so forth. Then they've gone now, and they've taken over the market when it has come to close now. I mean, they dominate that. Then they went ahead and they bought Whole Foods, so now they're doing the grocery deliveries and everything else. Now they want to go into the prescription market. They are turning into a textbook definition of a monopoly, yet nobody wants to address it whatsoever, Dad, which makes me think they have a significant amount of protection backed by the CIA.
That's exactly right. Now, let me share something with you here. This has... How much more efficient do they need to be with opiate delivery than to be able to send your OxyContin via your prescription to your home and have it there within 1 hour? The CIA is funded through drugs. The CIA wants more and more people addicted to heroin and opiates in the United States to basically create a helpless group of people in the United States that can no longer be self-supportive and basically do whatever they're told to do. It wants an entire country full of sheeple. Amazon, as far as I'm concerned, and the CIA have been working together just over the entire course of the life of Amazon. I don't think for one second that Jeff Bezos had anything to do with the growth of Amazon. That's my personal opinion. I've listened to him before on radio, and I've heard seen him on TV. He's a complete and total goofball. And I think that the CIA, who's controlled by the Sabbatean cabals that we talk about all the time, that we talk about already this show, is running all of it, and they have to have a more efficient delivery system for opiate delivery, and they can do it now very effectively and efficiently once they get all that portion of getting Schedule II drugs approved for delivery like this all over the country. So no longer do you have a social stigma of standing in line for your OxyContin. It can be sent to you with a little carrier drone and dropped in your doorstep. That's where this is going. Yep. They need more and more and more people addicted to opiates to generate more and more money in the black ops, more and more money for their funding. That's what they want. By the way, UK police have arrested more than 3,395 people for online hate crimes driven by hostility. Official UK police guidelines require that a hate crime must be driven by hostility, but police are unable to clearly define what that means. Therefore, the Crown Prosecution advises officers to look for unfriendliness as a sign of a hate crime. Chester police have warned users of social media not to post offensive comments or they should face 2 years in prison. Glasgow demand that people be kind online. Remember, guys, they don't have the First Amendment. We broke loose from King George, and we decided that we were going to have all of us as sovereigns equal to King George. They don't have that. By the way, in UK also, it is now rated the home of a journalist, home after he tweeted about Muslim violence. Peter Sweden was the target of the hate crimes unit of the UK police when they raided his parents' house. However, he is living in Norway now because he is afraid of being imprisoned in Sweden or the UK for reporting the truth about Muslim crime. The UK raid came after he tweeted, "Palestinian man convicted of raping 14-year-old Swedish girl. Heaven forbid you tell the truth about a man from Pakistan raping a 14-year-old little girl." Guys, I want to thank you so much for listening today. This is one of those shows. Austin, I want you to listen to this one as a high-energy, must-listen show. I'm glad we had good signal today. I will be on Hagman tonight for the full 3 hours from 7 to 10 Eastern Standard Time, 7 to 10 p.m., and I want you guys to please tune back in again because we've got a lot of material that I didn't have a chance to cover on the show today, plus a lot of other breaking health news that I wanted to cover with you guys. Guys, thank you for supporting us through your prayers. Thank you for supporting us through your purchase of your multiple vitamins and other supplements through our website. Thank you for continuing to just station angels around us and plead the blood of Christ over us and put a hedge of thorns around us. Thank you for all of that. Thank you for being part of our family. I appreciate you guys so much. I love you guys. And pray for me for tonight on Hagman so we can have a really good, strong signal. We can do a good show with Doug and Joe tonight. And I will talk, and by, on Sunday night, we'll be running Doc Marquis as the tape this week on Halloween, because I don't want to tie into next week. There's too much stuff going on around right half what's happening right now. We're going to be running Sunday night's taped show. Will be on Doc Marquis from last year when he talked about Halloween with us on our show live. God bless you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, show's yours. Close it up, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Sounds good, bud. Also, to another news, you know, we talked about Spain yesterday. Well, Catalonia, their parliament now has declared independence from Spain today, a historic vote that set the breakaway region on a collision course with the central government and courted international isolation. Madrid, armed with Senate approval for imposing direct rule in the northeastern region, vowed to restore legality, though, in Catalonia, raising fears of a broad crackdown that could spark shows of civil disobedience and partially a civil war. What was already Spain's gravest constitutional crisis in over 40 years is now looking with more uncertainty of what's going on now. We talked about this briefly yesterday, so I wish those guys the best over there. I mean, quite frankly, if the parliament declared independence and they voted on it and that's what they want to do, then more power to them, man. I mean, we've already gone through this in our country, and unfortunately, it looks like we're about to start going through it again if we want to be able to take back the constitutional rights and true laws we had in this republic. So it's going to be interesting, but I wanted to bring that up today of those guys over in Spain. Also, two last article on health. A new study now discovers that the active ingredient in turmeric, which is curcumin, which is our turmeric force product we have, can help reduce weight gain after menopause through feeding gut bacteria and helping positive gut bacteria become stronger. As reported by the NutraIngredientsUSA.com, researchers from the China Academy of Chinese Medical Sciences in Beijing analyzed the association between curcumin and postmenopausal weight gain through experiments conducted in 18 rats. Six rats underwent the removal of their ovaries and were fed curcumin. Six more rats were also had their ovaries removed and were given just water. And then six remaining rats underwent a fake operation, which basically means they were opened up and their ovaries weren't removed and they were administered water. They observed that the curcumin fed rats had a much greater gut microbe diversity than those that were just given water. Results also showed that the rats that had their ovaries removed administered with just water had a decrease in gut bacterial diversity, unlike the group of rats that underwent a placebo surgery. Moreover, the mice in the water group gained more weight compared to the placebo group. On the other hand, the curcumin fed group did not gain any weight. They went on to say estrogen deficiency induced by ovarians being removed causes changes in the distribution and structure of intestinal microflora in rats, and curcumin can partially reverse those changes in the diversity of gut microbe. The researchers noted that the study may be limited because it was small scale. However, they suggested that if the researchers are the same in subsequent larger animal studies, the results could be applicable in future human studies. So I thought that was pretty cool. Another article that comes out that shows you turmeric is very, very good for the body. So any women that basically are postmenopausal or have gone through, you know, having your ovaries removed, try the turmeric out. Give it a shot. See what it does. See if you can balance out your hormones a little bit and possibly reduce the weight gain. If anything, it's going to help out with inflammation and help out with your joints and energy. So it's a win-win either way. But guys, we appreciate everything. As Dad said, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for praying for us. And of course, thank you for buying your ultimate multiple through us. We really appreciate that. We're always here to help you guys. If you need anything, give us a call at 1-800-726-1834. And again, the product of the week is the magnesium and malate acid, which is on sale. And of course, there's a couple other products that are being pretty popular right now that you can vote on. The Superfood Complete and the Cortisol Buster are tied, with a close second behind them is the New Zealand beef jerky that we have, the Toby's beef jerky. That's an incredibly good product. We get that locally out of Dade City. He imports all of his beef on that product from New Zealand, which is the same contractor we get our New Zealand whey protein from in our Fit Food. So it's a very clean, pure beef. There's no antibiotics, no hormones in it. Tastes incredibly good. There's no MSG, no GMOs, no artificial sweeteners, no artificial flavors, nothing. This stuff, this is the only beef jerky I will eat. That's why we started carrying it from him. I tried it a while back ago as a sample that somebody had. I ended up contacting him. I ended up meeting with him over in Orlando. I love the stuff, and that's why we started carrying it. So if you guys want to check it out, give it a vote, put it on sale. If not, just order it right now. We got a bunch more fresh in stock right now, so be sure to check that out at healthmasters.com. And enjoy the show tonight, guys, with the Hagmann Show. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff on it, a lot of great articles. Dad's got a lot of information he was sharing with me before the show. So be sure to listen to that tonight for the 3 hours. Again, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome weekend, and we will talk to you Monday as always.